You are listening to BensTorah.com.
I had the schus of spending 8 years learning in Yeshiva Sne Yisrael in Baltimore, all under the leadership of the Rosh Yeshiva of Yaakov Weinberg Zechat Tzadik Levrocha. I can tell you that in all 8 years, there was only one time that the Rosh Yeshiva asked the Mashiach to make an announcement and to put up a sign there would be an emergency Musar Shmuz to the entire yeshiva. The Bachrim, the Kollel, everybody. Smack in the middle of afternoon Seder. So what was the incident that triggered this unique response? Earlier that morning, it was in the middle of morning Seder, the first Seder in the yeshiva, a regular weekday, and all of a sudden you heard, it was in fact a friend of mine, "Stop!" An elderly, ill fellow walked into the Beis Medrash in the middle of morning Seder with a brown paper bag. He walked over to where Rabbi Yisachar Friend was sitting in the Mizrach of the yeshiva, and he pulled out a long blade. And he was about to stab Rabbi Yisachar Friend, and the tip of the knife actually pierced his skin. And a friend of mine who was sitting in the first row, right opposite Rabbi Friend, he's the one who yelled, "Shout!" He picked up a chair, slammed it against the person's hand and the knife, and a few guys got up in the middle of the Beis Medrash and they tackled him to the floor. And they saved the life of Rabbi Friend. So the yeshiva declared an emergency Musar Shmuz to the entire yeshiva. And he asked the question in the middle of second Seder, how could it be that a yeshiva with so many bachrim, so many afreichim, so many young lights, so much Torah? How can it be that an ill, infirm person can walk in, pull out a long knife and try to stab one of the rabbeim in the yeshiva? How can it be? And he said, "I don't know the reason why. But one thing I could tell you is, we let him in. Torah is our shield, is our perpetual protection." David HaMelech, Masechah Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, David HaMelech knows his 70 years are up in Shabbos Kodesh, but he knows that if he's shakua, if he's engrossed entirely, completely, all of his essence, his entirety of being is going to be surrounded by the Torah Kedosha, that he's got the metaphysical shield, and the Malach HaMovis cannot lay a finger on him. If such a person can enter the walls, can breach the walls of Yeshiva Sne Yisrael, it's because we slacked off a little bit in our learning. We created a pierce, an opening, and he entered that opening. We are at fault. The Torah writes in Or HaChaim, Siman Tov Kuf Pei Aleph, that Elul is all about the Yemei Rotzen. And why? What's so special about Elul that specifically these days are branded the choice appellation Yemei Rotzen? And it's bought in the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch HaHalacha Sefer from the beginning of Siman Kuf Kof Ches and Sif Aleph. Predicated on those words in the Torah, writes the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, and the Yemei Rotzen. Why? Because we sinned with Chet HaEgel. And Moshe Rabbeinu got up to our Sinai for the last period of 40 days, and there he is at the apex, at the pinnacle of Sinai, and he's davening endlessly to the Ribbono Shalom from his mamoke alev, the inner recesses of his heart, and he achieves the unthinkable. He procures an atonement, and our chet ha'egel is expiated all during Chodesh El, culminating, of course, in Yom Kippur. That's not just a day of Slicha Mechila, but as the Gemara relates in Tainus, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, it's a Yom Slicha Mechila, it's a Yom Shenitnu Bo Luchos Shniyos, we got the Luchos Achronos. On that very day, that's the culmination of the Yemei Rotzen that began, that commenced with Moshe ascending to the top of the mountain, a Rosh Chodesh El. Now listen to this Svasemis. Svasemis says, you know why we sinned with the Chet Egel? How is it Shayach? How can it be? We had just previously attained the Madriga, the lofty spiritual level of Adam and Chava lefnei Achet. Poskezu Amos and all the impurity and all the depravity and perversity had left us ligamri, completely. How is it Shayach? How is it at all feasible that we could sink so quickly to that nadir of all corruption with the perpetration of the egregious sin of the golden calf? How is it Shayach? Writes the Sasemis, you know why it happened? Because not too long before, Amalek came to fight us. And we're all familiar with the Gemara and Bechoros, Tafayim and Beis, Sahenshem, Kavavam, and Aleph. Vayimochem im Yisrael, Berfidim, writes Rabbi Eliezer, Berfidim Shema, that was in fact the name of the city. But we espouse the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, who says it was roughly a day of Minatayra. Their hands slackened off from learning, writes the Sasemes. How is it Shayach? How is it at all feasible that on this lofty spiritual plateau we could sing so quickly, so fast, and we could worship a golden calf after attaining this madriga of Adam and Chava, Kodem Acheta, Poskezu, Amosa, no tumah, no impurity, no imperfection? We were cleansed, purged, legamri. How is it Shayach? Because they planted within us a seed that said what? You let slack off just a little bit. A little bit lax in your study of Torah. Rafa, we just loosened our grip. If you loosen your grip just a little bit and you let Amalek in, yes, Vayachlosh Yoshua Sama. Yes, you're right. We emerged victorious. But Acharika Chlosa Kolonol is said and done. Chazal still invoke that metaphor of the bathtub, the burning water. They lost the battle, but they won that war, that there's a piece of Amalek now in the Metzius, in the fabric of Klal Yisrael. Because they came to fight us in our freedom, and we let them in, because we let that out guard, even just a little iota, Rafa, we didn't let go of the Eitz Chaim, Elam, Achazik, Machalil, Achaz. We didn't let go of the Torah of our Messiah, of our heritage. We didn't do that. But we did loosen our grip ever so slightly. You're not holding on as tightly. You're letting Amalek in. Amalek goes in. And that's it. It's a part of you. And Chazal say we'll have to endure the after effects of an Amalek until Bieskolotze. Answer of Avramel Shorn is Halekach Valiba Vin Chodesh El. Nothing's coincidental. Always coinciding with the month of Elul, what do we lay in at the close of Parshas Kisetze? Tzimches Zecher Molek. That's part of Kisetze. It's a mitzvah. The Araisa, Hershom Zalman even writes, I saw in an old Torah journal, I'm a Makshay HaTorah, we would recite the blessing on this mitzvah, the Araisa. We have to kill them. But Chazal said, you know what? We can't make a bracha on an act of destruction, on an act of killing, an act of eradication. But it's a mitzvah, the Araisa. We should have Avamina to make a bracha to kill Amalek. Why? To kill the Amalek inside of us. They came. They lost the battle. But they won the war of cooling off those boiling waters of the bathtub. And they entered into our Lev and Nefesh. Always coinciding with Chodesh Elul, the close of Parshas Kisetze. Tim Chesech Amalek, eradicate every last remnant, every last vestige. Get the Amalek not out of the world. Don't stop her. Get them figuratively out of you, out of your system. That's Yimei Elul. Strengthen a Tyra and Mitzvahs and Avoda, re-erect that shield, that protective barrier that disallows the Yitzhahara to enter. But once we make breaches in that wall, once we slack off in that metaphysical protection, then anything can happen. Somebody made my day 2 Fridays ago. I was in the flower store, buying flowers every Erev Shabbos from Eish Haskayel, because I'm a good grandson of my grandfather, and I tell this to every Chassan Kali. He says, Eitan, I'm giving you 2 pieces of advice before you get married. Number one is, you better love your wife more than yesterday, but never as much as tomorrow. And number two, you better get her flowers every single Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom. So there I am in the flower store buying her flowers, and not just to pick it up from a grocery store, the $10 bunch on sale, to go and to pick out flowers for her. And I was getting flowers to some other people, and someone came over to me and he says, "Rabbi Fadi, you don't know me all that well, and I'm embarrassed to come over and to tell you, but I want you to know something. It's Chodesh Elul, and I heard one of your Shabbos morning speeches. And he says, I don't always come over to you. I was standing in the back. I'm sure he wasn't in the lobby. He definitely was not at any Kiddush club, because look, after all, we don't even have a Kiddush club. But he was standing in the back of the room. And he says, Rabbi Feiner, you were speaking about Facebook and Twitter. And you should know, Rabbi Feiner, I used to have Snapchat. And I told him, I'm sorry, but I have no idea what Snapchat is. Baruch Hashem. He says, it's okay, you don't need to know what it is. But I had Snapchat for years. And after hearing your speech, I said, it's Chodesh Elul. I can't have Snapchat in my home anymore. And I want you to know it's hard for me. But I decided after that drasha, I am getting rid of Snapchat. And the Kach Hava, that's what he did. And I feel my Elul is a whole different Elul. Because Elul is about to erect that barrier. Get rid of those things. We can come into an Elul and say, Tshuva, Tefillah, Tzedakah, Ma'aviras, Rukzei, Gevaldik, and you get stuck at Stokat Tatsami Mavis. And you learn and you do mitzvahs, Gevaldik, Masim, Toivim, Abbali, Dai. But when all is said and done, but what are we letting inside the house? What's still there? Is Snapchat still there? Is Facebook and Twitter still there? What do we have with us living inside our homes?
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Listen to this amazing pshat. I had a lot of drives in this summer as a Rav in Chai Lifelands Camp Simcha. As you well know, I come in for every chasm. Baruch Hashem, I didn't have Levayas, I had a Shiva visit I came in for, but I came in about somewhere between 12 and 15 times. So I went through a lot of Torah tapes. Baruch Hashem, I have them coming out of my ears. And I said once a story, true story, in a Reader's Digest. There was a guy who took his family to Disneyland, and he's there on It's a Small World with his kids, and the ride broke down. And he sat for 2 hours in that little boat hearing It's a Small World after all. Zalam katan katam, home for 2 hours straight. He sued Disney for $1 million in psychological therapy fees. He had it coming out of his eye. I lived Rabbi Ephraim Waxman for 15 drives in the summer. And people ask me, why do I listen to Ephraim Waxman? I say, it's the same reason a Rebbe and a Yisrael once came over to me and said, Rabbi Ephraim, I want to give you a compliment. I said, yes. He says, anytime I drive, I listen to Rabbi Ephraim in the car. I said, thank you so much. He says, don't be complimented. It's not because I like you so much. It's because I can't fall asleep at the wheel and I'm listening. You don't want to be fall asleep. As I said to Ephraim Waxman, no matter how many 3-hour trips each way, you can't fall asleep listening to Rabbi Ephraim Waxman. So I must have gone through many CDs, some of them at least twice. And listen to this pshat that Ephraim Waxman said over in a shiur that he gave on a Tisha B'Av. We have a well-known Mishnah, Perkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Dalet, one of Hillel's famous statements. And Hillel says ever so beautifully yet succinctly, Al tamin ba'atzmacha ad yomos. Don't believe in yourself until the day of your demise. Take a quick glance at Rashi Steele, another quick one at Rabbeinu Yonah, and they both cite for us that famous Gemara Maseches Brachos Daf Chaf Tes Siman Aleph. Al tamin ba'atzmacha ad yomoscha. You know why? Shere Yochanan Kohen Gadol Shimish VeKahuna Gadola Shmonim Shano LeBasof Naaseh Tzeduki. The last great Kohen Gadol that we had, the one who was the Kohen Gadol longer than anyone else in history. Yochanan Kohen Gadol. Now let's replay the scene. We have a Gaon Otzem, a Talmid Chacham Muflag, a Tzadik Yesod Olam, who goes into the holiest place in the entire planet year after year in the holiest day in Yom Kippur. He is closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam than anybody else in the world. And he's serving the Ribbono Shel Olam, serving all of Klal Yisrael for 8 decades. And we know how many people were not Erlecha Kohanim Gedolim. They entered the Kodesh HaKadoshim and they never emerged alive. He came out alive year after year for 80 years. The Godol Hador, all of a sudden, one day, becomes a tzaduki. He reads a posik in Chumash Lo Savasha, Gedim Achleivimu, you can't cook a goat in its milk, but otherwise everything else is fine. No more Pesach, Mimachras, or Shabbos, etc. Ezra fine left to imagine. He was the God of Dor. Imagine putting it in today's perspective. Imagine somebody told you, you opened up the blogs tomorrow morning and you heard Lahavdu and Chaim Kinevsky decided he's not going to be frum anymore. Can you believe it? It's not shayach, it's not feasible, it's not at all theoretically possible. And yet, Chazal tell us, the greatest, longest serving Kohen Gadol in the history of the world, 80 years of the Fenaival and Fenim and the Holy of Holies, and one day he says, I had enough. Says, can you imagine Ezra Belach when he's running the Pesach Seder? And 80 years, he's got children, he's got 8 o'clock, or 8 o'clock, he's got great-great-grandchildren. He's got 70, 80, 100 people in the Pesach Seder. And all of a sudden, the kids say, Manashtana, where's Sadie? Oh, I'm sorry, Sadie's not from anymore. But Sadie ran the Seder for 80 years. He ran the Seder. I'm sorry, he doesn't believe in it anymore. How is it Shia? And he developed this for another 10 minutes, but we're out of time. So I'll leave you suspended while I answer the question Shabbos morning at the drasha anyway. Okay, listen to this answer of the Chavetz Chaim. It was, after all, the Halakha Chavetz Chaim is outside today. This is the only answer I've ever seen, I've ever heard, and it's mamish emes lamita shel Torah. Chavetz Chaim said, bought by Rav Shushan Pupas, and now quoted by Rabbi Chaim Waxman. Imagine you have a little rowboat and you're taking your wife, your girlfriend out, Central Park. It's a nice thing to do, by the way. I highly recommend it. Central Park, take her out in a nice rowboat. Imagine you're there in the middle of the city in Central Park having a great time on a 75 degree Sunday afternoon. And all of a sudden, there you are and you're dressed nicely for a date. You're going out to Mike's Bistro afterwards and there's a little hole inside that rowboat. Forget about it. You're not going to make it back to shore. That hole, a nice sized hole, smack in the middle of the rowboat, and all of a sudden, filling up with water, and you got to get out, and you got to paddle, and you're screaming for help. And next thing you know, you're in the water, and you have to make your way to the shore. Now, let's say you have a little, nicely sized boat. You have a bigger boat, a nice sailboat. With that hole smack in the middle, you know what? You could go a little bit longer. Now imagine you're on Michael Jordan's multi-million dollar yacht. You know what? Oh, you could go years. Years with that little hole in the middle. Imagine you're on a Carnival cruise ship. Imagine you're on a Costa Rica cruise. You're listening to all your favorites. Chazonim. You're eating the same piece of fish day after day. In the water, your mom is so sick already. After 8 days in that claustrophobic little room. And it's a massive, titanic, huge carnival cruise ship. And you have one little hole, tiny little hole at the bottom of the ship. You know what? Big deal, little tiny hole. It's not going to bother anybody. It's not going to adversely affect the trip. You'll get through all the chazonim. You'll make it back to port. Oh, if you have to stop in Florida and change ships before the grievance, that's not so terrible. In the end of the day, that one little hole in that huge cruise ship, it's not going to cause you all that much trouble. But let's say you don't tend to that hole. That little tiny hole, letting in just little amounts of water day after day. After a year, something's starting to fill up. 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20, 30, 40. By 80 years already, yes, that boat is going down. 80 years of not tending to that hole. 80 years of water rushing in day after day for 8 decades. That little tiny hole, even that huge Titanic-like ship, after 80 years of ignoring that hole, yes, even that huge ship can go down. Explain the Chavetz Chaim. He was a tzaddik yisodo. But if Yehochanan Kohen Gadol could be shimish pekahuna gedola shmonim shana, ulbasof nasa tzaduki, explained the Chavetz Chaim, that means that he had some holes. It could be one little tiny hole. Maybe he never really worked on his gaiva. Maybe he never really worked on his mitzvah of kas. Maybe he had some questions about the Yiddishkeit that he just didn't address. And he was a 99.99% tzaddik. We'll call that a tzaddik in the Kol HaDeis. Big deal. One little tiny hole, yes, for 10 years, 20 years, 80 years, he can be the Kohen Gadol. But if you ignore that one little kilkul and midos, that one minuscule foible goes unattended, decade after decade, then even after 80 years, it filled him up and it brought him down, and it brought him down big time. Chodesh Elul writes the Sfas Emes. All our troubles come from Chayta Ego. We had it. We had the Lucas Rishonis about to make their way into our hands. We had the greatest momentous encounter with God, with the divine. And we were connecting to Hashem like Adam and Chava before the Chayt. And everything was brought down because of Chayta Ego. How is it shaykh that we can sin with Chayta Ego? This Hashem says because of Molech. They planted that horrible seed. They gave us a drop of poison. And it made its way into our midst. And we didn't tend to it. It was a little bit of a ruffle you day have. Just slacking off from one little area. And that's it. You broke the shield. You break the shield. Somebody almost came and killed our friend. Because we created a small little pirtza in that wall. Chodesh Elul is a time in Yemei Ratzon. We want to get that connection back. We're journeying toward the Yom Kippur Yom Sheninu Malucha Shniyas. We're ready to reenact, to re-experience. Instant replay. It's time to go back to Sinai. It's time to say I want the Torah again. Elul is, we're getting rid of the Amalek inside of us. We're going to read about destroying Amalek every single Elul. At the close of Kiseitzei, Elul says take something, something small, but something that's appeared in your home. Because we let something in. How many articles can we read about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton? I'd rather eat fish every day for a month. Sour fish. I'd rather be throwing up on that cruise ship in that tiny little room. I can't hear about it anymore. But if we let something into our hearts, one little pizza, maybe it's a Twitter, maybe it's a Snapchat. If we don't glue and seal up those holes, then what's going to be with all the avodah of an Elul? You can do the greatest tshuva, tefillah, and tzedakah in the history of your lives. But if you didn't seal the holes, you're not going to be growing, you're not going to be changing. You're not going to be securing that everlasting relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. Just want to close with a book. I love my parents, but they recommended to me a great book. And one night, a few nights ago, was another 4 o'clock in the morning night. Because I ordered this book from Amazon, Letters to Talia by Dov Indik. Translated into English, published in 2012, a fantastic collection of letters from a young man, Dov Indik, in the Hester Yeshiva, my alma mater, and Yeshivas Karen Biafne, who unfortunately was killed in the Yom Kippur War at the young age of 21. When he was in Yeshiva, he met a man on reserve duty, and it turns out this man had a daughter who lived on a kibbutz, a secular Israeli. And there's a fascinating back and forth from a secular, this goes back to the 1960s, 1970s, early 1970s. And you have a book of correspondence between a beautiful neshama learning and steiging and going to the Israeli army at the same time, this young soldier, Dov Indik, who is very serious about his Yiddishkeit and his learning. And he's writing letters to a girl who's living on a secular kibbutz. They named her, it's only a pseudonym, her name is Talia. And they're going back and forth arguing about the fundamentals of Yiddishkeit. And they get into a fascinating discussion. She says, can't you come to the kibbutz and we could go mix dancing together, we could dance together. It'll be great. We'll dance together to Hasidic folklore. Don't worry, it won't be to regular English music. And we'll have a dance. And he says, look, I'm sorry, I can't dance with you. You know what happens when you have married people and they start dancing with the opposite gender? And she writes back, she says, Dov, I understand. That's after you get married. That's when you finally meet someone and you love that person. But come on, Dov, you didn't answer me. What about when you're a youngster? Come on, you're on a kibbutz. She was a 12th grader. She says, I'm a 12th grader. I know you're not going to marry me. You're a religious Hester Yeshiva boy in Karen Biafne and I'm living in a secular kibbutz. We're not going to get married. But why can't we dance together? And Dope says, all the research in this sphere supports the claim that the habits and behavioral norms of teenagers fashion our behavior for the rest of our lives. And he goes on to say, you're right, the real problems are after you get married. But if you don't nip it in the bud, if you go through years in your teenage years of dancing boys and girls holding hands together and going mixed dancing together, that'll be part of their essence. And it'll continue. It'll be very hard to break away when they finally do find their mate, their soulmate, the right one. Because if you let something in at a young age, it's going to be a part of you. And it's hard to ever get rid of. In our nascent stage of the exodus from Egypt, we let Amalek in. Because we slacked off and all we had to do was give a little Pesach. Amalek came in and Amalek started to grow into a cheta ego that we suffer from ad hayom hazeh. Elo, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ani ledodi vedodi lei. We want the relationship. We want the relationship, let HaKadosh Baruch Hu in. But Hashem says, I'm only staying in. You get rid of that Snapchat. I'm only staying in if you close up those holes, you seal those piercings. I want a unique, exclusive relationship. Ani ledodi vedodi li, and I don't want Hillary Clinton living inside my living room. I don't need to hear it 24/7, 365. We don't need to have all the Western civilization living with us every second of the day. Know what to let in, what to keep out. Know how much to take, and how much to sift and to filter and leave on the outside. Ani ledodi vedodi lei, tikun v'cheta egel. Let's seal up those holes, this Elul. Let's glue those little tiny holes, and let's lock up that relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu that guarantees that ani ledodi vedodi lei will continue in a healthy, beautiful, geshmaka fashion. For many Elul's and the last Elul of Golus, as we mamish this Elul greet. Emet Hashem, Mashiach Tzidkenu, Mehira Yameinu, Amei V'Meinu.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.